Mark in the Morning comes to you from the studios of 100.3 The Sound in Los Angeles. In Southern California, hear it happen live without a net from 6 to 10 a.m. Weekdays on 100.3 FM.
Nice. Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound. Let us get the legal, the FCC required legal ID out of the way, please.
Well, Mark, well, Andy, well, Jackie, well, Danny, I thought I'd let you know that 100.3 The Sound is KSWD-FM and HD1 Los Angeles and Orange County, Southern California's classic rock.
Thank you, Robin.
Thank you.
Today, Sal Cerencioni is going to be joining us shortly. He has the latest in classic rock news. Those of you that missed it yesterday, we spoke with John Travolta here on the program. Mm. We're going to re-share good. At 6:35. Christian Hand, people. Christian is back in. He'll be here at 7:40. We think
he's going to do Stevie Wonder. Mm-hmm. But I'm starting to feel like Charlie Brown in the football.
I'm starting to feel like he wants a longer running joke in radio than the Young Dubliners.
Now, is it superstition that he's breaking down?
I believe so.
Well, those of you that don't know, this is the guy, he extrapolates a song. He breaks it down, like we'll hear the drum track, then the bass track, all that. It's mesmerizing to hear. We're going to open the phones like 8:15. Skeeter's going to come down. The being Mother's Day on Sunday, we're going to open up the phones to you moms. As a parent, what one mistake did you make that you would never make again? Linda's got one that she's to start us off with, and so we'll get into that. Also, headlines for the day. We have a pair of Ducks tickets. Playoff tickets for Sunday's game. One pair today, one pair tomorrow. Danny was thinking maybe we let Todd do it. Todd is oddly a freak of sports information. When he was a kid, they lived on this weird place where there was no television. And he had been given a sports encyclopedia, and he memorized it.
Wow.
Yeah. So maybe we do that.
I want to party with that guy.
Yeah, stump Todd. If you can stump him, then you could win a pair of two. We have a pair today and a pair tomorrow, so get ready.
All right.
Everybody's talking about the Patriots. Deflategate, the NFL has ruled, and we're going to be dealing with that. Sam Farmer is going to join us shortly after 8, right before Todd, and we'll find out the latest. Because basically the NFL is saying somebody did it. And we think Tom Brady was aware of it. We think we know who did it.
Of course he was.
Now, to this day, the head coach, Bill Belichick, has said, I knew nothing of it.
Nobody's touching those footballs without Tom Brady saying it's okay. No one. No one in that organization would come near one of those balls if he didn't want it that way. What, are they going to try to sabotage him?
So the question now is, what's the penalty? What do they lose?
Well, they suggested that they might suspend Tom Brady for 6 games, and then everyone started laughing. So I don't think anything's going to happen.
It has to.
No, because... Goodell watches the games at Robert Kraft's man cave.
If they can get away, wasn't it Belichick who was filming the last practice of the other team right before the game?
Yes. Yes.
So he's untouchable for some reason.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to find out, because I'm going to tell you, for me, this is blatant cheating.
It's total cheating. And the thing that makes me the most angry, I heard Randy Cardoon yesterday say, well, you know, that game with the Colts, it wasn't really even close. So it made a difference. So cheating only makes a difference if the game is close? That's bullpucky.
Well, you know, it's funny you should say that, because I was talking about that with my boyfriend, and he said, well, but they still won. I go, because they cheated. It's super easy to win when you cheat.
It's like paying off the referees and saying, okay, if the game's close, we want you to throw a penalty flag and screw the other team. Well, the game never got close, so we didn't do that. But you paid off the referee!
Manny Pacquiao finds himself in some trouble, and there was a really odd moment on The Price is Right. All of this revealed. This is the Thursday Mark in the Morning. This is 100.3 The Sound. How long since you heard Gary Numan?
It's been a little while. Yeah.
Actually, I did see him get featured at a Nine Inch Nails concert.
Really?
That was really fun.
Did they play a medley of his hit?
You were saying, Mark.
So when we come back on the other side, we're going to have a Friday frenzy. I have a suggestion of one that I like, but each of you come up with something that you would like. And then we'll discuss and make a decision as a team. But right now, I'm looking for a horse, and I don't want it to have a name.
It's Steve.
Here's America on Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound. America. Horse with no name. We take requests here. I'm kidding. We don't. But we do have a phone number. It's 888-696-1003. When I was a kid, there was the radio station that I listened to, which I wound up working for later. WOWL. You could pull up. Yeah. You could pull up and there was a window and the jock, you could toot your horn and the jock would stick his head out and you could make a request.
Yeah.
And then he would do it. And I would go over there on my bicycle. I could even hear the radio, but it was exciting to talk to the jock.
I didn't know Mayberry had a radio station.
Salute.
I will have you know that we had two.
Ooh.
Never have that today, by the way.
What's that?
Well, I wouldn't work there anyway, not without bulletproof glass. And
No, ridiculous. So the frenzy tomorrow. Everybody will go around and we'll make a decision. And Sal, you're invited to join. We're our Friday frenzy, you know, 15, 20 minutes of whatever band or artist we're going to feature. I'm leaning towards Supertramp. I kind of like Supertramp. There's enough there. Andrew, what say you?
Supertramp is fantastic. And I can totally wholeheartedly throw all of my fervor behind that. I still want you to have a back pocket for... It's a moonlight skate. Everybody on the dance floor.
Wow.
Big Red Barn, skating party. Fourth grade.
Listen, I love Little River Band.
They're terrific.
I can tear that up.
Really nice.
Look around you.
Look around you, Mark. Hey. Look up here.
Look up here.
Take time to make time.
Oi, you got 2 minutes of this?
Make time to be there. All right, I'll stop.
Gina, what say you?
You know what I think would be a lot of fun? An Allman Brothers frenzy.
Oh, I got a bunch of that.
High energy, great music. I think that would be a lot of fun.
Jackie?
The Bee Gees? I'm just kidding. No.
Listen,
I know that's
what?
From my own friends at home.
Is it my birthday again?
I love the Bee Gees, you guys.
Stop. I do too. I did a cool stories and music on them.
Did you? You got to send that to me. Okay. I like the underappreciated band, so I would say probably this is not a band, but Harry Nilsson.
Dude, I did a cool stories on Harry Nilsson. I learned so much about that guy, and I would always end every episode of Cool Stories with a little thing I called, and I'll bet you didn't know. The bet you didn't know on Harry Nilsson, I'm not going to reveal it because I'm hoping this thing's going to be syndicated.
Then people will know.
Yeah, I don't want to tell him. But that, now I could do Nielsen all day, all night. Danny, what say you?
Something, probably Rush. Something like a little harder.
I cringed.
That's for Mikey. He's not here on Friday.
Be great.
So Mikey's not here on Friday, so forget Rush. How about something like equally, maybe harder? Can we do Metallica?
No.
Yeah, definitely. Let's do a Metallica frenzy.
Yeah.
Mikey, do you have anything?
Where is he?
There he is.
Oh, Pearl Jam.
Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
All right, let's make a decision. I could go. Sal, do you have anything?
Yeah, based on the stories I'm covering this week, AC/DC started their tour Tuesday. Ooh. So either AC/DC, with Danny. Rush starts their tour Friday night, Little Rush. And I'm going to Colorado to hang out with the Moody Blues for their last night at Red Rocks. So maybe some Moody Blues.
I think AC/DC is not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Getting a lot of good suggestions over here.
All right. We'll let it simmer. We'll make a decision momentarily. But right now, joining us from the fine city of New York, Sal Cerencioni joins us with a quick update on what's happening in the world of classic rock.
All right. right. Well, Foreigner is in the news this week. Lou Gramm is having Lou Fest this coming weekend in Rochester, New York, where he lives. Earlier in the week, he was asked about the status of writing some new songs with Mick Jones, as you may recall, when they were inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame in 2013. They actually did talk about revisiting some old tracks that are lying there in the vaults and reworking them. And so here's what Lou had to say about it.
We're still looking forward to that. Mick's had some complications to his quadruple bypass, and his prognosis is good, but it's still a scary thing to be in that situation, and we've put everything on hold until he's ready.
Foreigner is one of my all-time favorite bands.
Man, Lou Gramm, at the height of his powers,
yep,
his vocals were soaring. I mean, like, yep, songs like That Was Yesterday, he just barks it out. He was really good.
Dirty White Boy, Urgent, love him too much.
A 1, 2, 3, foul.
John, Mr. Lennon, maybe it's me, but I feel like you're coming off a little negative on this one. I mean, it's just me. I'm sure it's me. Crazy. Sorry, Sal. Go ahead.
All right. Well, this story comes with a warning. The following may not sit too well with fans of The Sound. Here it is. Scientists at Britain's Imperial College and University of London have determined that the rise of hip-hop is the single most important event that has shaped the musical structure of the American charts during the 50-year period between 1960 and 2010. The complex study tries to quantify musical change by using computers to break down about 17,000 charting songs down to a bunch of distinct musical elements. The analysis focuses on three chart revolutions. The British invasion, of course, led by the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, Kinks, etc. The rise of the synthesizer heavy British new wave bands in 1983. And rap's emergence as a force on the mainstream music charts starting in 1991. Lead author Matthias Mock says his model offers, for the first time, a scientific study of musical change that goes beyond what music experts tell us. He says they are able to do this by looking at musical properties in recordings on a large scale, by looking directly into the songs, measuring their makeup, and understanding how they have changed. And as a result, they have concluded that hip-hop brought about a far greater change and variation in music than either of the two musical revolutions I mentioned. I think these people have way too much time on their hands.
Look, I saw this story and I negated it from the beginning because where's Elvis? Here's a guy that takes rhythm and blues, mixes it with gospel and hands it to a white American. Where's that? How come that's not even mentioned?
Oh, Matthias gave me asked me for your phone number, but I told him he didn't want to go down that road.
I see the point in that hip-hop emerged and went around the world and got imported back in from all corners, from Asia, from Africa, from everywhere. And I see the wide cultural reverberations of hip-hop. But to discount everything that happened from 1960 up until basically the mid-80s is, I think that's a huge mistake.
Yeah, I think this is an analogy that can't be made based on what they used. So I personally negate it. I have spoken.
You don't even know how to spell negate.
Hey, I'll throw the jokes around here. Just calm down, Sal.
All right. Love me two time, baby. And from our crock of crap pile this morning, here, there's an effort to have a house. Get this. Albuquerque, New Mexico. Jim Morrison lived in it between the ages of 12 and 14. So obviously, way before there was ever a Light My Fire or Love Her Madly. His family lived on Candelaria Road in Albuquerque while his father worked at nearby Kirtland Air Force Base. The current owner, Thelma Lou, said, Thelma Lou, oh, God, I didn't even realize that.
Yeah.
Sure.
Here we go. Thelma Lou says Barney. The building might still have a Morrison connection. She claims that one night her granddaughter heard organ music playing in a bedroom and feels it could have been Jim's spirit. Of course, Ray Manzarek, who never, you know, Ray Manzarek, of course, was the keyboard player, and he didn't live anywhere near Albuquerque, nor did he know Jim Morrison when Jim was only 12 or 13. Anyway, this woman is trying to have this home turned into an historic site, so I'll leave that up to you.
Okay. She said fans have been driving by and taking pictures. She's just trying to raise the value of this house.
Yep. Exactly, Thelma exactly.
Using karate.
Now, Sal, we're going to lose you next week, right? Unless you can find an ISD inline?
Well, it's your call. I'm going to Vancouver for some U2 interviews and to cover the opening night. So I might have access to an ISDN unit on Thursday. I will do my best. At the very least, if you do want me to call in with a report on Friday from opening night, I can certainly do that as well.
Yeah. You know, maybe we don't do the report because it's kind of tough over a phone, but we would like to have an update as to the U2 shows.
Hey, okay, Sal?
Yes, Andy.
Sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to throw something out. You're going to be interviewing U2?
I'm producing it. Yeah, I'm writing the interview, producing it, and, you know, one of the high-paid personalities gets to ask the questions.
Well, if you get the chance, you know, they did the rooftop show here in
yes.
Los Angeles years ago. Mm-hmm. We've got a rooftop here. Just saying, it's pretty tall, it's pretty cool.
And a building that would love nothing more than for us to just go party on it.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, they have really jumped on board our shows.
They've embraced us.
And it sounds like, you know, with the great security you have there, they wouldn't have any problems with people bum-rushing the roof.
Right. So throw that out.
This man works for the Premier Radio News and Prep. His name is Sal Cerencioni. I call him friend.
Sal? Wow, 2 days in a row, he's called me friend.
Sal, is there any way I can ask you a question since I represent the listener side?
Yes, Jack.
We've had a listener call for the last, 3 weeks. He wants to know if there's anything on the horizon for The Faces and Rod Stewart doing any type of tour.
Oh, real quick, yeah, I will tell you that right now, we actually talked about that the other day on Mark's podcast. It's kind of being held up contractually. There are talks between Ronnie Wood, Rod Stewart, and Kenny Jones to do something. Of course, they're the last three surviving members of the band, but right now Rod Stewart's management seems to be holding it up, so wait
money.
And see.
Money. Yep. Well, I mean, look, the fact of the matter is, you've got to face that. If The Faces did do a tour, it's going to sell out. Everybody's going to want to see rock royalty, Ron Wood and Rod Stewart, go back to their beginning, and it's going to be mega, mega money. So you got to talk about that now, because look, if there's a boatload of money sitting on the table and nobody's decided who gets what, that's going to stop the tour right away. So you got to talk about those things. Sal, the best. We hope to hear from you next week.
I will be in touch. Thank you all.
Gina's going to trend here momentarily. We're 10 minutes away from a resharing of our conversation with John Travolta yesterday. Remain where you are. This is Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound.
It's ringing.
The organizers of this year's Glastonbury Festival have landed their biggest and final headliner, The Who.
Wow.
Also on the bill, Foo Fighters, Moody Blues, Paul Weller, Lionel Richie, and many others.
That's a decent lineup right there.
I would love it if John Lodge does what I asked and goes up to the Foo Fighters and says, hey, I thought you guys were going to do I'm Just a Singer in a Rock and Roll Band. What's up? Come on.
By the way, this weekend, Saturday, I believe it is, Katie, Chick on the Street, is going to attend the red carpet premiere of the movie Tomorrowland starring George Clooney. So she'll be out there interviewing folks and doing whatever. So we'll get more details about that.
Is she going to get a chance to talk to George Clooney?
She's going to be in the interview mode, and so if George Clooney's there, I would love to hear her free. I mean, there he's standing there. She has no experience at this whatsoever.
And no filter whatsoever.
And it would be so hysterical to just watch her freak out.
I can see her going, oh my God, you're so hot. Can I touch your hair?
Yeah.
That would be fantastic.
Really
I love that
would.
Too much. Plus, I'm hearing that Katie's going to ride a roller coaster soon.
Oh,
and I'm
yeah?
hoping that's here. Yeah. And she's not real fond of roller coasters.
See, that's interesting. I know that Disneyland isn't known for their, you know, fast and loose rides, but she is a Disney freak. Yes, she's a Disneyland freak. So first of all, she's going to be Disneyland anyway when they're doing the premiere. But I can't imagine her being afraid of roller coasters because she spends all her time in a place with rides.
Danny?
Well,
It's actually Knott's Berry Farm.
Knott's Berry Farm.
Right, but she spends all of her time at an amusement park, so I wouldn't think she'd be afraid of roller coasters.
Yeah, well, this is like some 4D roller coaster, so it's like a mix of, you know.
4D? You time travel?
Screen.
What happens?
She's going to have PTSD.
It's a mystery. She's going to go through a wormhole.
Well, when is that happening, Danny?
Wednesday.
Okay. Let's find out what's trending. Here is Miss Gina Grad.
Well, Miley Cyrus has launched the Happy Hippie Foundation to benefit homeless LGBT youth. Danny,
it smells like egg farts in here. Okay. It really does.
You're just jealous because I brought a breakfast sandwich and you didn't.
Jealous is not the word I would choose.
Do you know whenever I bring food in here, Andy
indignant.
Looks at me so longingly that I have to come around the control booth and give him a bite? Not today. A dating destination website has proclaimed that Irish men and Armenian women are the hottest people on the planet. We can probably thank Kim Kardashian for part of that.
Irish men smell like sauerkraut.
Mikey, can you grab that drop?
Well, I thought German men smelled like sauerkraut. corned beef and cabbage.
Yes, here's what's trending in sports. As Mark talked about earlier, an investigation into Deflategate shows that Patriots quarterback Tom Brady was at least generally aware, quote-unquote, that the footballs he was throwing were below the allowable level of air pressure. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online on Mark in the Morning. And now you too. Speaking of Irish boys, this is 100.3 The Sound, Southern California's classic rock.
Irish men smell like sauerkraut. Oh, the gems, the stones, it's all great. Mark in the Morning, that, of course, is Bono and U2. We're collecting quite an array of
bon mots from Mark.
Bring me my hamburger, and while I'm eating it, take your top off. It must be hard. It must be crisp.
I smell a ringtone.
Oh, God. Oh, now, we're going to play the Travolta call here, but in a minute, I got an email from Danny, and it involved all of you.
Uh-oh.
I was so entertained by this, got it yesterday. We'll discuss amongst ourselves. But in case you did not hear it, we spoke with Mr. John Travolta yesterday. The closer we get to David Letterman's final show, the more celebrities are getting their delicate feelings hurt that they're not invited to the finale. We have one of those celebrities on the phone, Mr. John Travolta. Thank you for joining us, John.
Oh, thanks for having me, Mark. And first, I want to wish my beautiful wife, Kelly Preston, and all the other beards, I mean mothers, all the mothers out there, happy Mother's Day to the beards.
John, you said beards twice there.
Oh, did I? Yeah. That's so weird.
It is, John. It is very weird.
Weird.
Oh, wow.
Now, John, I hear that you're upset that you're not going to be a guest on David Letterman's final show.
Well, yeah, it was making me pretty tense. But a few trips to the massage parlor, and I was straightened right out. So very straightened. Yeah. I'm talking straight, Mark.
Right. Well, listen, John, if you don't mind, we have somebody else on the phone who has something to say.
Ooh, boy, three-way calling? I love three-ways, but with ladies.
Right.
hey, kids, it's David Letterman. Ha! It sure is, Dave. And ladies and kids, I hold in my hand the top 10 reasons why John Travolta isn't going to be on my final show. Uh-oh. Here we go. Number 10. He's always trying to get all of us to convert to Scientology. Now, the only deity I worship is you, Dave. Well, I appreciate that, Paul. Ha! Number 9. He still owes me $12 for the time I went and saw that steaming pile, Battlefield Earth. You know, I still use the DVD as a mirror when I shave my head, Dave. Ha! Number 8. Two words. Hairpiece. You know, it frightens and confuses me, Dave. Oh, me too, Paul. Number 7. Last time he was here, he begged all of the male staffers for a massage. Then when they denied him their soft, tender touch, he threw a tantrum, all while wearing nothing but a sock on his... Uh-oh, I think my phone is breaking up. I can't hear anything you're saying. Oh, well, I was really hoping to hear the rest of your list, Dave. Okay, bye.
Right, John, right.
Well, it's a good thing he's gone, Mark, because numbers 6 through 1 are pretty graphic. Far too vulgar for a morning audience, Dave.
Well, listen, guys, thank you so much for calling.
All right. All right, kids.
So, Eric, we don't need to hear the rest. So when we come back, I'll share this email and then we'll discuss it amongst ourselves because Andy and Gina witnessed it. And I just laughed because I myself have a story to share. We'll open that up momentarily. Andy's capsule is about 15 minutes away. Remain where you are. This is Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound. Welcome back in. Our phone number in here is 888-696-1003. Jackie's in there. Just can't wait to hear from you. Today, Sam Farmer, now it's all about the Patriots today. The NFL Investigative Committee has said, yeah, they were purposely deflated. They looked at the two trainers. They named them by name. They say that Brady knew about it. Belichick still contends that he did not know.
I heard one of the text messages from one of the trainers.
Mm-hmm.
This is a little incriminating. Started out with, Tom sucks.
Whoa. Well, this whole thing is going to come down to something. Sam Farmer.
Nothing's going to happen.
Sam Farmer has carved out some time. We'll speak with Sam right around 8 o'clock. And so we'll move through that. Christian Hand is in here at 7:40. He is going to extrapolate Stevie Wonder's Superstition. This is a not miss. And for you moms, is there something you have done during your parenting days that you would never do again? A mistake that you made as a parent? Linda's going to start us off. She's got one. And this story is scary, and I wasn't there when it happened. So we'll do that at 8:15. Right now, what do you say we jump into some Jimi Hendrix? This is Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound. Jimi Hendrix, Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound. Our phone number here is 888-696-1003. We would absolutely love to hear from you. So yesterday, I get this email. Dave Biesing is the program director here at The Sound. Right. This radio station is his creation. So if you love it, you love him. Dave's got a little daughter. And I get this email from Danny. And, of course, this has the class touch of Danny. It simply says, and this is to me, it says, big news, Dave's daughter finally took a dump in the toilet. Says he is so proud. Gina, Andy, and myself are listening to him congratulate her. Because Dave told a hysterical story about this. They've been having trouble with the toilet because every time she needed to go number two, they had to put a diaper on her.
Sure.
So she finally made it. So congratulations. I know this is huge. I had a little bit of the same. Amy, who you guys have met.
Oh, I thought you met you personally.
Amy would refuse to go number two in the toilet. So Linda goes out and buys the trainer potty.
Uh-huh.
You know, the trainer
sure.
thing?
Uh-huh.
Where you
sure.
gonna... Okay, so we're having dinner one night.
Oh, no.
And Amy says, I got to go. So Linda goes and gets the training potty and puts it over by the dining room table. She's up against the wall. We're eating dinner. And Linda whispers to us, okay, don't stare. Don't stare. So Amy is sitting on the trainer potty.
Wow.
This is the first time. So it starts to happen. And none of us made a big deal. And this was Amy. She started looking around because it's happening. She's doing it. And she starts looking around. And then she says this quote. I'll never forget it. She said, I smell something. It was the first time she had ever.
Wow.
Mazel tov. Andy, Gina, could you share what you heard
yeah.
yesterday?
Well, Andy, why don't you start? Because the original quote was to you.
He came to the, because we're at the similar ages with our children. Mm-hmm. And and there's a little bit of that going on at our house. And so we've commiserated about the difficulty of that. And it's kind of one of those, be careful what you wish for, because once you get them, you know, not going in a diaper anymore, then you're out on the road and you hear a, gotta go, then you gotta find a place, man, yeah. right then.
Yeah.
But anyway, Dave comes to the door of the morning show office.
Running.
He runs in there and stops. We've got poop! And then yeah. we hear him in the other room saying, that's great.
He literally.
That's fantastic. He's on the phone. I think he was talking to Peter Burton, our general manager.
Well, that also
could
be true.
What a good kid.
Because he literally said, you get a gold star.
Yeah. And then Peter walked down the hall shortly after that. So it might have been Peter that he was talking to.
Have I told the story of Katie in the car when she needed to go?
I don't know.
Okay, let me just tell it quickly. We were in the van. We had a Toyota Previa. We're coming back from dinner.
Wow, that's dating it.
Yeah. We're coming back from dinner. We're all there. And Katie was sitting right behind Linda in her child seat. And she has unbuckled it. And she's standing up between Linda and I. I'm driving. And she said, "Hurry, Daddy, I need to go." So I sped up a little bit. We're about a mile away. She's standing there. Linda's trying to get her back in the... And I'm turning into the neighborhood. We're 100 feet.
As the crow flies.
Yeah. And Katie is now standing, and this is what I heard. "It's coming out."
Oh, wow.
I do remember that story now, but it's worth hearing a second time. It bears repeating.
And if it were anybody else, I'd say you're probably embellishing, but I'm sure this happened exactly the way you said
it. I think she's done that here.
Exactly as I said it. All right, what do you say we take these 2 feet and jump right into Andy's Classic Rock Time Capsule?
It's time to open Andy's Classic Rock Time Capsule.
Watch your fingers. There we go. You're inside the Classic Rock Time Capsule now, friends. It is Thursday, May 7th, 2015. Quiz this, Mark and Gina. Today in 1967, Soviet teenagers defy police in Moscow's Red Square by dancing which dance? What do they do to defy the police? Is it the hitchhike? The swim? The twist?
He's acting them out.
The mashed potato? Or the Watusi?
That's the Watusi. I didn't know
you
that.
Like that? Yeah. Well, that's a loose interpretation of the Watusi. Anyway, the answer coming soon, so pick your favorite dance. 1973, on this day, George Harrison releases this song right here. "Give Me Love, Give Me Peace on Earth." God, I love George Harrison.
Why don't you marry him?
Told you.
See you at the premiere.
So good. Goes all the way to number one, that song. And when it gets there, guess which song it unseats.
Wow.
And when I go away,
how about that?
I know my heart can stay with my love.
My love. By when Paul McCartney.
When I went to see McCartney, and he was married, I guess, to Heather at the time. One of the best shows I've ever seen in my life. And he, right before he went into My Love, he dedicated it to Linda.
Yeah, oh, definitely wow. The love of his life.
Wasn't a dry eye.
So isn't that crazy? "Give Me Love" unseated by My Love, two Beatles back to back. And guess what unseats "Give Me Love"?
All You Need Is Love.
In Circles,
I'm gonna sing it to my friends.
Right? By Billy, who played on the Let It Be sessions. Billy Preston, how about that?
Three
Beatles players in a row on the top of the chart. This day in 1978, there's a softball game at USC. No Trojans are involved. It's between the Eagles and the editorial staff of Rolling Stone magazine. Apparently, the music rag constantly slags on the band until they have enough. They challenge them to a charity softball game. Are they vindicated? The final score, the Eagles and their ringer roadies, 15. The indoor kids from Rolling Stone, 8.
Yeah, so, eat that, nerds.
Hey, you remember we talked to Randy Bachman last week about setting the world record for most guitarists playing simultaneously? It happened 21 years ago today. 1,322 amateur guitarists gather in Canada to play Taking Care of Business for 68 minutes straight. And I asked Randy about this while he was in here to his face. And to his credit, he says this.
"That must have sounded awful."
It was a train wreck. Are you kidding?
I love that. And they're going to try to break that record coming up soon. This day in 1998, Steve Perry
should have been gone.
Well, and he is. Finally, Steve quits Journey for the second time. You like that? Apparently, what happens is...
See what I did?
He injures his hip while hiking in Hawaii. He thinks he needs hip replacement, but he's hesitant to rush into it, which is wise. Meanwhile, the band allegedly wants to saddle up the tour and rush him along. which leaves a really bad taste in his mouth, and he tells him to go spit. Today in 1967, Soviet teenagers defy police in Moscow's Red Square by dancing which dance? The hitchhike, swim, twist, mashed potato, or Watusi? What is the answer?
Because that's the first time I've ever seen the Watusi done, I'm going Watusi.
All right.
I'll go, you can't get a bigger dance than twist, so I'll just
come
go
on,
with it.
Baby.
Yeah! Let's do
correct, sir. It is the twist. Yeah, during May Day celebrations with missiles parading down the street and goose-stepping soldiers, young kids are pissing off the cops with a twist. Scofflaws, you scalawags.
Hooligans.
Ne'er-do-wells, young toughs.
Ragamuffins.
Your devil-may-care attitudes. Speaking of devil-may-care, I'm throwing caution in the wind and having Journey play us out. This is Mark in the Morning on 100.3 The Sound, Southern California's classic rock.
It certainly is a big bun.
It's a very big bun.
Big fluffy bun.
It's a very big fluffy bun.
Where's the beef?
Now, I don't know exactly what this means, but Wendy's has announced that they're selling 640 of their restaurants in the U.S. and Canada. Wendy's is also selling the bakery in Zanesville, Ohio, where they make their hamburger buns. Mm. Their earnings fell 40%. So if you're a fan of Wendy's, I got a feeling you better go grab it soon.
Yeah, grab yourself one. Or grab yourself a chain or a franchise. It sounds like what you're saying.
Yeah, they're selling them. And look, this could be a good thing. I don't understand the business. They say, I don't know. But Wendy's may be coming to an end.
Well, I know how you feel about hamburgers.
Bring me my hamburger, and while I'm eating it, take your top off. I'll never live it down.
Do you want to?
Mother's Day 2015, the spending survey has been conducted. We are expected to spend an average of, and this kind of surprised me, $173 on Mother this year.
Ew.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I better double my order.
Up from $10 last year. 80% of people get mom a card, 67% flowers, 34% jewelry. And according to the survey, spending on jewelry is expected to hit a record $4.3 billion, which is up $700 million from last year.
What?
I would. $4.3 billion on jewelry on mom.
On a made-up holiday.
I assume that that's the husband giving it to the wife, mm-mm, not the children giving it to the mom.
That's macaroni.
Yeah, that's breaking out the piggy bank.
Right. Wow.
Yeah, that just, I don't know. I just didn't, you know, mom gets flowers and a little poke and happy Mother's Day.
You meant right? Tuna poke, right? The tuna poke appetizer.
Exactly. That's exactly what he meant.
That's my favorite hors d'oeuvre.
Well, I say it's time for the Stones, man. The Stones.
Come on.
That was almost so unsatisfying.
This is Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound.
Who's this band?
It's the Stones.
It's the Rolling Stones.
Yeah, we're trying to dig up an email. Apparently, some guy was pissed that I don't say the Rolling Stones.
What
did
you
say
instead?
Stones, man. Stones. So you remember the other day, Nicole, 21-year-old Nicole, she called, and I said, you know, I don't know you well enough to badger you, so call back one day when you're more comfortable, and I'll attack you. And so she did call back, and I let her have it, and then I had her send a picture of her, and I said if she's ugly, then she couldn't be on the show anymore. She sent it. She's as cute as she can be. We've got it up on markinthemorning.com, and it's on Facebook. Take a look. 21-year-old Nicole, she's a listener. Moms, we want to find out what you have learned through your parenting that you would never do again. We're going to open the phones up. We've got nice crap in the booty box. Maybe you'll win something. Skeeter's going to start us off. And check we've got Ducks tickets. A pair today and a pair tomorrow for the championship for the playoff game on Sunday. You can stump the commissioner if you have a sports trivia question that you can ask Todd. The first person to stump him gets those tickets. Now, yesterday, Gina sent me a story that is just crazy whack. Yeah. Gina, do you have that in front of you?
I have it. I have it right here. So a Pizza Hut app saved a woman's life and her three children's life. This Listen is what this. Happened, basically. Authorities say a Florida woman, shocking, escaped a hostage situation thanks to Pizza Hut. Cheryl Treadway says her boyfriend used a knife to keep her and her three kids inside the home, so he was holding them hostage
Jesus.
At knife point in the house. She finally got an idea and said, okay, we've been here for a long time. Do you mind if I order a pizza? Mm-hmm. He said, fine, do that. So she orders it. She's a regular customer there. She orders a pepperoni pizza. In the comments section, she writes, please help. Get 911 to me. 911 hostage help. Wow. Now, because she had ordered before, and even in the fact that that was just odd, they took it seriously. The manager over at Pizza Hut said that he'd been managing 28 years. He'd never seen anything like this. They called 911 immediately. The cops got there. She grabbed one of the kids and ran out of the house. And 20 minutes later, the boyfriend came out totally peacefully. They let the two kids out. And he's now, of course, being charged with aggravated assault, battery, and false imprisonment. Mm. And thanks to her quick thinking, she and the kids are safe.
Now that I hear this, I'm going to stop writing some of the nasty epithets I've been putting in the comments section.
They're not going to take you seriously.
They read that. I did not know they read that.
And you know what actually, what it reminded me of during the Super Bowl, I believe, it was that amazing, really riveting commercial about that woman who was calling a pizza place, and it was a distress call. Mm-hmm. And it was really, really riveting. And this is a way to get help if you're ever in a crazy situation. Please wow. use your resources. This woman freed herself and her three kids.
That could have gone so badly.
Yeah.
But it went well. That's cool.
Yeah.
Let's go to Rick. He's called from Thousand Oaks. Rick, what can we do for you?
Well, how y'all doing? Mark, been listening to you long, long time. In fact, when you and Brian were giving away knee pads. But more recently on the Mark and Linda podcast when I schooled you on testosterone. Mm. But more importantly, talked about I'm married to cancer fighter Tammy. Remember, she's got brain cancer. And you and Linda read her email. Mm. And she wanted me to tell everybody that May is Brain Cancer Awareness Month.
Oh,
and
cool.
That 700,000 people in the United States have brain cancer right now.
Mm. Wow.
So go gray in May.
Go gray.
Andy, I have a feeling that we could talk things like Jethro Tull and Moody Blues, and because I think you have a soft spot for progressive music.
Sure. Yeah, well, I have a soft spot for bands that have been left out of the Rock and Roll Hall
exactly.
of Fame after
but here's
a half
the thing.
Century of
How
work.
How can you be elected into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame when there's not even a category? There's no progressive rock category. There's not even a progressive rock category on iTunes, and the genre's only been around for over 40 years. So what about that?
Well, how do you get in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame if you're Madonna?
Oh, God.
Madonna,
well,
Madonna's
I
about rock
that,
and roll as she's
think
British.
You have to dump me for that. Gina, you're like a beautiful crispy noodle kugel. You can make it as a main dish or a dessert.
With or without raisins. Thank you so much.
I kind of prefer without.
Me
but,
too.
But if you like raisins, we'll include those.
No, we're going to have a double dose of non-raisin kugel together.
Good. That sounds great. Nice
hey, Rick.
Crispy on the top.
Yeah, of course, with cornflakes.
Hey, okay. Rick, I'm assuming there's a point.
There is a point, yes. I would like to get tickets to Pat Benatar for my wife and myself and tell you a joke. Now, I told a joke to Jackie, and she nixed it, so I came up with another one.
No.
He came up with another one.
Wait, have you screened the second joke for Jackie?
I did not, but it is absolutely clean.
No,
all right, Andy.
That wasn't our deal, though.
No, it wasn't. Actually, she said, are you willing to do anything for Mark? Knowing
tickets.
Mark for as long as I have, that's a questionable question.
Well, one thing we've learned over the last couple of weeks is that Jackie's no arbiter of taste.
Yeah. But she is funny when she says those Mexican words.
She
yeah.
is.
All right. Andy, get your
ready.
Finger on the button. Rick, go ahead.
Okay. It's a joke about ice cream.
Wait, is it a
woman
penguin?
Comes into an ice cream store on a Monday, and she asks the guy, can I have some chocolate? And he says, I'm sorry, ma'am, we're not getting in any chocolate till Friday, so why don't you come back? She says, okay. She comes in on Tuesday, I'd like some chocolate, please. He says, ma'am, like I told you yesterday, we're not getting any until Friday. Now we have chocolate chip, we have chocolate ripple, we have mocha, we have all these different kinds. She says, no, I want some chocolate. So she comes in the next day on a Wednesday, and she says, I'd like some chocolate, please. So now he says, you know what, ma'am, This is on me. I'm sorry. Clearly, I have not communicated that we do not have chocolate till Friday. So let me help you out here. Look up in the board. Do you see the van in vanilla? She says, yes. Do you see the straw in strawberry? Yes. Do you see the F in chocolate? She says, no, there's no F in chocolate. I says, that's what I've been saying. There's no F in chocolate.
Rick, that's 2 minutes that we're never going to get back.
I know. I'm sorry.
No. Listen. You're going to take your wife to the show?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
For that?
That's the only reason.
Danny, his wife has brain cancer. Hey, tell you what. You tell him no, Danny.
Yeah, give me your best shot, Danny. Come on.
Oh, man.
I'm such an a-hole.
But you know what? Something that the listeners really should learn. They really should just give the compliments and then get the prize and not double down on the joke.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, well.
But, Rick.
Rick. I thought that it took more of a price of admission, but okay.
We're very vain.
Rick, let me also say, look, obviously we're going to give you the tickets for Pat Benatar, but I want you to know that every person in this room and every person listening is aware that you played the cancer card and you're going to go see Pat Benatar because of it.
Oh,
because that joke sucked.
Okay. I keep telling my wife won't play it when she can, so what the hell?
All right, so you and your wife are going to go see Pat Benatar. Gina, do you have to add some information to that?
Are you going to the Pacific Amphitheater or are you going to Thousand Oaks, my dear?
Oh, Thousand Oaks. We're in Thousand Oaks.
Perfect. A pair of tickets to see Pat Benatar and Neil Giraldo at the Thousand Oaks Civic Plaza on August 7th.
Phenomenal. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Rick, thank you for listening and thank you for calling. And I hope and pray that your wife is going to be okay.
You guys, I'm sorry, but he hijacked that call.
He went rogue. He pulled a Jack Bauer.
Jackie.
He was willing to do anything. I thought it was going to be funny. We were going to make him, I don't know, slap his butt in his face at the same time. Something.
Jackie, he played the cancer card. How do you go from there?
People play this card on me all the time. I have to cut him. Mm.
Well, Jackie obviously can't rub two cents together. The girl is dumb as a bag of hammers.
So if you have a dread disease, call Jackie and tell her about it in detail.
Excuse me, I'm actually graduating next month, so I'll need a day off for that too. So.
Wait, I didn't. Hold on. From what?
Well, it's only my associates, but so what? It took me a long time to get it.
Of what? What are you talking about?
Communications from, I go to school too after this.
Wow. You know so little about Jackie, Mark.
She doesn't say, I told her the other day, you got to share more stories. She tells me nothing.
Hold on a second. You're telling me you can go to school for this?
Yeah. Well, Jackie, I didn't know that. That's huge. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Are you going to get like a graduation thing?
What does that even mean?
I mean, do you put on a cap and gown?
Go to school. Yeah, I'm going to walk and graduate, and all my Mexican family's going to be there and say,
That's great. It's not going to do you a bit of good.
You should get some chocolate ice cream with an F.
All right, we have to do business. We're so tardy. Remain where you are. Hey, Christian Hand is in here at 7:35. He is going to extrapolate Stevie Wonder's Superstition. It is a not miss. This is Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound.
I think everybody has a place in their life that they call home, that sort of has that feeling of home. And no matter where you go in the world or what you see or what you do, when you think of the word home, you're drawn to a specific place in your mind.
Ashton Kutcher is a good son. Now that he's a father, he realizes how much work parenting is, and he appreciates his mother even more. So, to say thank you for all of her sacrifice that she made to raise and support him, Ashton is remodeling her Iowa home for Mother's Day. He is chronicling the entire process in a documentary. He explains, quote, "It is my way of saying thank you to my mom. My mom has been the greatest influence in my life. My parents gave me everything. They went to great sacrifices to give me the life that I have. And anything I can do to say thank you is the right thing." Mm. So he's a good boy with his mama.
Good
he's
a good boy.
Who's a good boy? Who's a good boy?
Is it Ashton? Is it Ashton?
Go get your boy.
Ashton, go get your boy. Ashton, you're a good boy.
What happened?
I don't know.
It's too good. 888-696-1003. Christian Hand is moments away. Here's The Doors on Mark in the Morning. This is 100.3 The Sound. We are Southern California's classic rock. Jimmy Morrison and the Doors. I think he had his junk out when he recorded that. Let's jump to the phones. Jeff has called from Florida. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, you guys. How are you?
Really good. How are you?
Good. Hey, really quick, Andy, Gina, you guys there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, thank you for taking Mark under your wings.
Anything we can do to help out a new kid.
We're keeping him under observation.
He was new on the radio and everything, and yeah. I think everybody just kind of, you know, kind of likes him.
And thank you for being patient with him. He's still learning the business.
Yes. Mark, I have a joke for you that's going to beat the last one.
Oh, God, I hope so.
It's a low bar.
Okay, hold on. I'm a little nervous here, so go with me.
Don't be nervous. What are you nervous for?
Okay. So anyway, so father has three daughters. They all have dates on the same night. And so 8 o'clock comes. There's a knock at the door, and he says, "Hi, my name is Eddie. I'm here for Betty. We're going for spaghetti. Is she ready?" Dad said, okay. So Eddie and Betty leave. Half hour later, he's knock at the door, and he says, "Hi, my name is Joe. I'm here for Flo. We're going to the show. Is she ready to go?" Dad said, "Yeah, okay." Thinking this is a little weird. Midnight comes. He says, "Hi, my name is Chuck, and I drive a truck." And the dad just slams the door in his face.
That's cute. That's very
cute. It was
good.
I have to say, it was a good joke, but I have to say those long gaps of silence in the middle of it
generate excitement.
Yeah, not for
me. Is that
what
you're going to say?
Just bored the hell out of me. And how did this turn into joke day? I don't understand. So, Jeff, now you're in Florida. Why are you listening to us in Florida? Not to say I don't appreciate it,
because
I do.
Because I lived in Portland, Oregon, and I grew up in L.A. and then moved to Portland, Oregon, and have been a fan for now coming up on 27-something years. I'm just a big fan, and not to stroke your ego like it needs it, but just a big fan.
Well,
listen to the podcast every day, and
well, that's nice of you, Jeff. So, what part of Florida do you live in?
Sanibel.
Sanibel, you like it there?
I love it here.
Yeah,
right on the Gulf side. I'm the one that called in that lost my dog Violet.
Oh boy, you broke my heart. Oh my God, that was just the worst.
Yes.
Absolutely the worst. Well, Jeff, listen, I'll obviously certainly appreciate you listening and calling in and shorten that joke up. Take a lot of that air out of that thing. But a good joke. I liked it.
But I was a little nervous. Now get over it.
Don't be. What are you nervous for? You've listened to me forever. What are you nervous talking to me for?
Because I'm talking to Gina and Andy.
Boom! Pow!
See you at the premiere.
He has timing. He has good timing.
Jeff, I love your brother. Thanks for listening.
You guys all take care.
See
you.
Talk to you soon. I'll share this on the other side. We lost one. And I'll share that for you momentarily. Christian Hand is already in the building today. He extrapolates Stevie Wonder's Superstition. Cannot wait. This is Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound.
Oh, yeah. Love me some hot chocolate.
Errol Brown, the hot chocolate lead singer whose energetic, powerful vocals topped such hits as You Sexy Thing, passed away yesterday.
Aww.
His manager said, "I have lost my best friend today." Brown was 71. And they had one other hit. Is this familiar to you guys?
Love this song. Yeah. Okay. Everybody's a winner. Everyone's a winner. You know what? That's not my favorite song of theirs, though. I actually have Hot Chocolate's Greatest Hits at home.
It's crazy. Wow.
They have a song that I actually learned there was a Chicago band, Urge Overkill, did a cover of it called Emmeline. The original song is Emma. Can I play a little bit of this? Listen to this groove.
I love this.
So good.
Is this Hot Chocolate?
This is Hot Chocolate, man.
Oh. Listen to this. Oh, so good. I had forgotten this.
One of my favorite songs ever. This is a top 10 hit.
Wow. There's something haunting about
this
song.
The guitar tone is crazy.
We were together since we were 5. She was so pretty. Emma was a star in everyone's eyes. When she said she'd be a movie queen, nobody laughed. A
face like an angel. She could be anything. Emily, Emma, Emily, I'm gonna write your name high on that silver screen.
100 people are gonna download this today. Emily,
yeah, I think you're absolutely correct. Emma, you talk Emily, about an emotionally charged vocal performance on this.
Andy, I think you just gave me a new lap dance song.
Oh, yeah. Stop before the part where she dies.
Okay.
Well, that fella you hear giggling is Christian Hand, and today Christian is going to guide us through the extrapolation of Stevie Wonder's superstition. Christian, how you doing, my friend?
It's not getting any easier. it's once every
you
2 weeks,
it.
And it definitely weighs over the other 14 days. I'm like, 14 days to prepare for the next 6:45 in the morning wake up call.
Well, look, it's everybody's favorite. We absolutely adore this. I could not be a bigger Stevie Wonder fan, and that's one of the great songs of all time. Cannot wait for this today. Take the helm, my brother.
Well, just to disappoint you, I'm not going to do Stevie Wonder.
Do it!
Not.
I knew it.
No, I'm just kidding. I am. I wouldn't do that to you twice in a row.
yes, you would.
That's true.
No, I totally would. I thought you were going to take this for months.
Yeah. Maybe I'll just do Stevie Wonder, only this song, though, and really annoy everybody. By month two, it'll be like, all right, seriously, dude, you got another song? So, Superstition. This is a monster. This is Stevie Wonder playing all of the instruments except for two.
You're
this
kidding.
Whole song. No, this is madness. So we're going to start with the full version now. Interestingly, the drum groove on this song, which is, by the way, played by Stevie Wonder, was actually thought up by Jeff Beck.
Thought up this drum groove.
The drum groove, and
they
based
Wonder
the entire
plays.
Song. Yeah, because he wanted to have Jeff Beck play guitar on one of his songs, and they were hanging out in the studio. And Jeff, I suppose, either got behind the kit and messed around or just mouthed it to him. It was like a boom, a chicka, buck, a chicka, like that sort of thing, Stevie. Wouldn't that be great? So we'll start with the full song. Everyone's aware of it, but that's a refresher.
First 45 I ever owned. Love this song.
And that's Stevie on drums.
Yeah, it's about to get crazy.
Clavinet sound on the electric piano. Ah.
Remember that? How could you forget it?
It rings a bell.
Yep. So, actually, the only instruments on this song are the drums, the vocals, the clavinet, which is actually a genuine clavinet.
Is it?
Yep. And some harpsichord, and then Moog bass and the trumpet and saxophone.
Is that all?
That is it, believe it or not, holding this thing together. So we're going to start with just hearing what it sounds like when a blind man plays the drums.
By the way, did you know Stevie lost his sense of smell in a car crash?
Did he really?
Yeah. That's he's down to three
thing.
Senses.
Wow.
Three senses. So you're a drummer.
Yeah. This is
sounds
loose.
Like he's pretty much in the pocket.
Oh,
here.
Dude, he's driving the pocket beautifully, but he's loosey-goosey. He's dancing all over that one.
Swings?
His hi-hat.
It swings,
insane.
As they say.
You can hear him making his little... So... It's the solid groove of solid grooves. You have to remember that he can't actually see the drum set he's playing on.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really, if there's an instrument where you need to know where everything is, it's the drums more than anything.
To be honest, though, you've been accused of that some gigs.
Very often. Very often. So what I did was, so there's a couple of drum fills that are really crazy because you don't... you hear them extracted from the music and you're like, where does that even fall inside the song? So I extracted just a couple of particular drum fills. This is the first one. We'll hear the we'll hear it in context first.
Good fill.
It's a great fill. And then when you hear it on its own, it's even crazier.
Is it right here?
Yep.
Wow.
What? Right?
What just happened?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. So then when you hear it back in the song again, now you can hear what his aim was, that he nailed it. Perfect, perfect.
Wow.
It's insane. So the next one is just as good, if not slightly better.
It sounds like he orchestrated it to sound like it was supposed to go off the rails.
Yeah,
completely.
Yeah. He's tumbling down a flight of stairs, yeah, and then he pulls it off right before the one. Yeah. It's incredible.
It's unbelievable.
This one's madness. So this is it on its own.
Wow.
What?
He really uses the bass drum more melodically than... Yeah.
No, it's not driving the bass. It's driving the drums. So let's hear that back in the context. And the open hi-hat every time, just nailing it. It's gorgeous. So yeah.
If you just joined us, Christian Hand is in studio. He is extrapolating Stevie Wonder's Superstition.
If you want to see how incredible a drummer Stevie Wonder is, if you go on YouTube and just enter Stevie Wonder drum solo, there's a solo that he played. He steals the drum set from a guy who's playing in his band, and he sits down and proceeds to do a drum solo for like 3.5 minutes that is mind-blowing, like Gene Krupa level.
Wow.
It's insane.
I did not know this.
Nobody did. I mean, everyone was like, oh, he played all the instruments, assuming that, you know, because we're drummers, it's not really an instrument. It's a controlled temper tantrum. So they're just like, you know, all the instruments, the drums aren't one. But yes, no, he played all the drums as well. Wow. So here's the bass line on this song is played on a Moog, which was a relatively new instrument at this point.
Marches, doesn't it?
Yeah. With a little pitch bend. He's having to do that with his hand. That's not part of the sound. So he's bending it as he's playing it.
And is it Stevie as well?
Yeah.
So this is a keyboard that he's playing?
Yeah. And it's like he and Bootsy Collins are like the guys that sort of made the Moog happen as a bass instrument.
Was it once the Moog synthesizer didn't really catch on?
This is crazy right here.
Oh, look at that.
And it's not MIDI. He's playing this by hand, which is why you can hear the flubs.
Whoever's listening to this in their car turned their bass way up.
Yeah.
The Moog really didn't catch on until they put the bend in there,
yeah,
right?
The pitch so you bender. Could be the pitch wheel.
That's when black artists started saying, okay, now we can use this.
Because you could get inflection and blue notes and that sort of thing. You could slide it through instead of it just being like donk, donk, like Kraftwerk. You know?
Right.
Slightly less Teutonic.
Burn, 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 on top, on. Right.
Yeah. So that's your that's Stevie Wonder, and he's playing that. That's probably, you know, that's a 2-finger bass line thing, and he's bouncing around, so it's very percussive, which is why the, you know, the song has so much drive. And then you've got like what sounds like at least 8 tracks of clavichord and harpsichord and all that stuff. It's not 2. And then there's 2 really cool delayed reverb ones that aren't actually even remotely connected to the beat. They seem to be at least like an 8th note off just to get it really weird. So this is what just all the clavinet tracks are like. So it sounds like 1, it isn't. It's about 8.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it's craziness. If you listen carefully, you can start to hear them fall to pieces when he, you know, goes off the beat, but you can hear the different shadow tracks.
Wow.
Just messing around. But after a while, you just get bored, so you just start putting the little trills in there.
Chamber music. Yeah.
And we're back. So that's pretty much 8 tracks of keyboards. And then, of course, the horn section on this, which is the only instruments that he didn't play. And I had heard rumor that he actually did play one of the horns, but there's only 2 listed, which is a Steve Madeo on trumpet and a guy named Trevor Lawrence on tenor sax. And this is them blowing on this thing.
Tapping it.
Yep, getting ready. So tight. That's your ringtone.
Yeah.
So, Jefferson's. It's beautiful, right?
Moving on up.
Yeah. He's writing cliches as it's happening.
Who produced this?
Him.
Did he?
Yeah,
he
did.
How does one person have this vision
it's crazy.
In their head and make it all realized?
Yeah.
This is Mozart stuff. This is Amadeus Mozart stuff.
In their 20s, by the way.
Yeah.
He does. This isn't a 40-year-old man.
Oh, yeah.
He's a kid. Make a phenomenal ringtone.
Unbelievable. I'm sure that's what he thought.
Yeah.
That's what he's going for.
I don't know what a ringtone is yet, but I'm going to write one. It's just airtight. Wow. All right, so that's the horn section. And then, of course, no good breakdown is complete without the vocals. Stevie.
I can't wait.
Very superstitious. Writings on the wall. Very superstitious. Letters about to fall. 13-month-old baby. Broke the looking glass. 7 years of bad luck. Your good things in your past. When you believe in things that you don't understand and you suffer. Superstition ain't the way. Yeah.
I mean, it's just flawless.
I know.
Very superstitious. wash your face and hands. Rid me of the problems. Do all that you can. Keep me a daydream. Keep me going strong. You don't want no saving. Sad is my song. When you believe in things you don't understand, then you suffer. Superstition ain't the way.
Just blows me away. You'll have a young artist come up now and try to do a song, and they can't play an instrument.
No.
They need auto-tune to hell and back to sound anywhere.
Yes!
Oh, my God.
Yes!
No, it's ridiculous. I mean, and then to have written it.
Right.
I mean, like,
and
produced
it.
Choreographed it.
Arranging it. Yeah.
I mean, it's just insane. Nothing
and playing every instrument on it.
And being blind.
Yeah. Right.
Stop forgetting.
Very superstitious. The devil's on its way.
Wow. It's flawless. All right, so if you put it all back together again, now you can have a true understanding of what the dickens is going on.
Stevie. Stevie.
No, it's crazy. The question is and I would imagine that it went in this order. It went bass line first, horn section next.
Really?
Because it's mimicking the bass line entirely.
And then he goes back in later and plays the drums sync to that?
No way.
He wrote the... what I'm saying is he wrote the bass line first and then was like, hey, chaps, give us the... Because he's playing the bass line as they're playing that as well.
I got you.
Like right here.
Never thought of that before, yeah.
One of the drum fills. Sturdy.
Flawless.
Yeah. Well played, young man. Well, I think he'll go places, said Stevie Wonder. He's got a future, a bright future.
You know,
and this is insane right here.
First 45 I ever owned, and...
So dirty.
It hurts.
That's just vindication that I started in the right place.
There you go. As long as it's all about you.
It is.
You know, Christian, I quick story, because I don't think I was the only one. For me, and I'm a huge Stevie Wonder fan, Living for the City, the 7-minute version is a masterpiece in my mind.
Oh, yeah.
And I was listening one day to satellite radio, and they were playing it, and they bleat that scene where they're throwing the guy in jail. And the jailer says the N-word,
right,
which is the point
of
the whole thing. Yeah. And they bleeped it. To me, I was so angered. That's like buying a Picasso. And you're looking at it and you go, I don't like yellow, so I'm going to paint over that.
Yeah.
I realize I'm going too far, but it incensed me that they did that. How dare they touch that piece of art?
Man with three senses, everybody.
Yeah.
Well, two and a half, because once you lose your sense of smell, your sense of taste is not great.
Yeah, that's true.
But he's got a hell of a sense of rhythm.
Yeah, he's got a good touch.
You know what I'm saying?
Good feel.
Good load. So, yeah, go on YouTube and watch just enter Stevie Wonder drum solo. And it is, I mean, I'm not kidding you. It's not even a token like, oh, he's reasonably good for a blind fella. It's unbelievable
tears
how
it
good.
Up.
Tears it up. And his whole band is just like hooting and hollering the entire time because they can't believe it.
Do you think that Prince made himself in the image of Stevie Wonder? Because he's another guy that comes along and can play just about any instrument.
Oh, yeah.
And can shred on guitar.
No, I just think that there's singular creative minds that have to, they can't be filtered, you know? So they, by just sort of, out of default, you have to learn how to play everything or else you're going to deal with...
Like Brian Wilson.
Right.
He's like, nobody can produce this stuff but me because I just hear it all in my head.
Yeah, you're going to end up having somebody else's filter on one of your choices. I mean, I'm sure if you could play trumpet and saxophone, you'd kick those dudes out and be like, just leave your instruments, I'll be good, it's fine. Yeah. Don't take
Christian,
those with
as
you.
As always, you knock it out of the park. We have 2 weeks before you come back. Where can folks find you?
You can find me on the interwebs at Christian James Hand on Facebook, and I'm also on Instagram at King Trut, and in my apartment most days of the week.
And by the way, at some point, I would like to request a very special episode where after, or maybe in lieu of, Christian breaking down a song, he just scats all the instruments.
Yeah, I could do that for you.
Because yeah. When he's just sitting here being like, well, I'm like, script. I could just watch that for 20 minutes.
What I'll do is I'll find a song, I'll break it down, but then I'll change it all to me singing it,
yes!
And then I'll do that. Like, and this is me singing the drum part. This
Christian,
is
good. Please do that.
By the way, hashtag Shaq Sauce trended for a little bit the other time I was here, so it's great. That goes my accomplishment for the week. I could go back to bed satisfied.
Christian, the very best to you. We'll see
Thank you
in 2 weeks.
Absolutely.
Talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me in.
Well, it's pretty much what everybody is talking about. The NFL did their investigation, and they're basically saying Tom Brady probably knew about it. They're blaming the two trainers. Bill Belichick has said he had no idea. And my mind wonders now what's going to happen to them. Sam Farmer, the great Sam Farmer, who covers the NFL for the Los Angeles Times, carved out a few minutes. And let's bring Todd into the conversation as well, Andy. Sam, thank you for the late notice and being able to find some time for us.
My pleasure, Mark.
So, where is this? I mean, everybody knew that the Patriots did this. There's no way that 11 out of 12 balls were deflated and nobody knew anything about it. So how are you extrapolating this thing?
Well, this report was really comprehensive, 250-some pages, and the league's going to take action now. I don't think it'll happen today, but it'll happen in the coming days. Could wind up being a suspension of Tom Brady, one of the faces of the league. Roger Goodell has done that before. Suspended Michael Vick indefinitely. Now that of course was a more egregious situation with the dogfighting, but suspended Sean Payton, the Saints coach, for a year. It could be a pretty hefty suspension of Tom Brady, particularly because he didn't give up his cell phone for this thing, didn't allow investigators to look, even when they said, hey, look, have your lawyer go through and just provide us with any text that might pertain to this. He didn't participate, and so that in and of itself is sort of an indictment of Brady, and so it's going to be very difficult for him to avoid a suspension here.
Now, in your opinion, and I don't know that we can base this on any priors, but what kind of a suspension would you expect?
Well, I would say it would not surprise me if you had more than four games. Nothing. This is sort of, in some respects, it's kind of unprecedented because it's direct cheating on the field. It's tilting the playing field. As silly as it sounds, that a ball deflated by a pound is cheating. So in that sense, it's kind of new ground. Although, if you look back at the Patriots and Spygate, I mean, you had them losing a first-round draft pick. You had Bill Belichick fined $500,000, the most they could fine him. So there is a history of sort of bending the rules of the Patriots, and that could sort of turn around to bite him here.
And are we to believe that Belichick had no idea this was happening?
Well, you know, the report sort of semi-exonerates him, but I think everybody kind of understands that the guy at the top might be just saying, do what you have to do, just don't tell me about it. This report doesn't point a finger at him, though, and so I don't think that we're going to see Belichick fined for this. I don't think any kind of suspension is in order for Belichick, but, you know, it could well happen for Brady.
Hey, Sam?
Yes.
I get particularly angry when I hear people say, yeah, but that game against the Colts, it wasn't even close. So it doesn't make a difference. The game would have worked out the same because, and I said it earlier, people that say that are saying that cheating only matters when the game is close. It's like me paying off the referees and saying, okay, throw a flag if we're it's close and the game isn't close so they don't throw the flag. I paid off the referees. How is this different than the Black Sox or stuff like that? It just really infuriates me.
Yeah, you know, and there's something else about this. This isn't a one-off thing. And I'll tell you, something came out that was buried deep in this report. It was a real eye-opener. And that is the day before the AFC Championship game, this game in question, 45-7 blowout game, the Colts equipment manager sent an email to the general manager of the Colts, who then passed it along to the NFL, that said, watch for the Patriots deflating footballs. It's widely known around the league that they deflate football.
Wow.
So keep that in mind. Now, this was like on page 46 of the report, buried deep in this report, that it wasn't just, we always assumed that it was DeQuell Jackson intercepts a pass before halftime, the ball feels a little soft when it's handed around on the Colts sideline, and they flag the official. No, this happened before the game. A day before the game, the NFL got an email that said, watch for the Patriots deflating footballs. Check the footballs at halftime. So they did that.
That's so interesting because in every article I've read, it says, oh, in an email. Like, but that's a big deal. Who's this email? What happened? So that's how they got the email?
Yeah, they got an email from the Colts. Now,
wow.
That's particularly interesting because it shows that there's a pattern or people around the league. So maybe this game, you know, obviously this game was a blowout. Maybe that didn't relate to this game, but they didn't have all blowouts last season. What if it were a game decided in overtime? Or, you know, the size, any sort of tilting in the playing field in the NFL is really a bad thing. Because once people feel like the fix is in with the NFL, then suddenly the NFL is pro wrestling. You know, nobody loses all its appeal.
And let's not think that this was the first and only time it was done. This was systematic, I'm sure, for other games. And all it has to be is Tom Brady telling, you know, a part-time game day employee, you know how I like my footballs. Just get them to me, buddy. Yeah. And this guy probably worshipped Tom Brady. Oh, he's my hero. I'll do whatever Tom wants. And he did it. And then timing is the other big thing here. They could have had this report wrapped up 4 days after it happened. It could have been very conclusive and everything else. They didn't want to release it before the Super Bowl. They didn't want to release it last week because you had the NFL draft. It conveniently is released right after the NFL draft because now you've got the most weeks and dead time from here until July when training camp starts. It's all about damage control and timing for the NFL as well.
All right,
that's
so
certainly
look.
True. I will also say, though, that Ted Wells has a history of taking a long time on these reports. He did the bullying case in Miami. When you hire Ted Wells to do a report, you're going to get an actionable, thorough report and one that you're going to take action on.
The main thing of this is, look, they have cheated before. They've cheated again. I need the book thrown at them. And so when do you think these sanctions are going to come down from the NFL?
I would say that it would be days and not weeks. I would agree with Todd that you know, the timing is a big part of this. I think it would not be surprising to see this be a Friday afternoon release. And so maybe doesn't get all the caught up in the news cycle, get all the play it would on a Monday or a Tuesday. I think that you know, potentially it could be as early as tomorrow we see something.
So 4:45 tomorrow we should be checking
out. Right, yeah. Exactly. When everybody wants to go home, everybody wants to be done. And,
all right.
And
so, Sam, listen, I've got to move on with Todd. I would ask this because there's going to be breaking news throughout the next few days. When something breaks, if you would keep me in mind and try to find 3 minutes, you can jump on and share that with us.
Anytime, Mark. You know that.
Sam Farmer covers the NFL for the Los Angeles Times, and I'm going to tell you, as good a guy as this is, if you have not read Sam's writing, his stories are phenomenal. You can find all of them at latimes.com. Sammy, thank you for the time.
My pleasure, bud. We'll
talk to you soon. Okay. Todd, now, here's the thing. If you want to stump Todd, we have two pairs of Ducks playoff tickets for the Sunday game. One pair today, one pair tomorrow. The first person who stumps Todd with a question, a legitimate sports question, then you will get today's Ducks playoffs tickets. Todd,
right, sports trivia question. So let's go through the sports pretty quickly because we're going to play Stump the Commissioner, right?
Yeah,
is that it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Let's go.
Oh, by the way, if you want to stump Todd, 888-696-1003. Go, Todd.
Okay, yeah. Okay, the Clippers last night lost to the Rockets 115-105. Chris Paul didn't play. The series is tied at a game apiece, but still, the Clippers have the advantage here. Chris Paul has now been able to rest for 2 games, 5 days. If he comes back for Game 3 Friday night, tomorrow night at Staples Center, he'll be in better shape for it. So now the Clippers have the next 2 games at home. Even though they lost last night, you have to say advantage Clippers, all right? And meanwhile, Cleveland beat Chicago last night, 106-91, so that series is now tied at a game apiece as well. One NHL game last night, I'm flipping around, I catch the end of it. Tampa Bay scores a goal with 1 second left to beat Montreal 2-1. Tampa Bay leads that series 3-0. In Major League Baseball, the Dodgers lost 6-3 to the Brewers. Joe Wheelan, a guy they got in the Matt Kemp trade, gave up 5 runs in the first inning. Not good. But one of the reasons that the Dodgers were willing to part with Matt Kemp is they've got the center fielder, Jock Peterson. He had 2 more home runs last night, now has 9 on the season. The Angels win again in the bottom of the ninth, 4-3 win over Seattle. Mike Trout, by the way, his 7th home run of the season, also made a great catch. And speaking of home runs, Bryce Harper of the Washington Nationals, 3 home runs yesterday as Washington beat Miami 7-5. And what we're watching, you know, in golf, just for golf fans who aren't big fans, but they follow the sport a little bit. You know, there's 4 major tournaments. The Masters, which was a month ago. The U.S. Open, which is Father's Day weekend. The British Open, which is in July. And then the PGA Championship in August. But if there were a 5th major, it's the tournament that starts today. It's the Players' Championship at TPC Sawgrass. I played the course last year 1 week after they had the tournament. And this is the famous golf course that has the island hole. Okay, that's the way you know, it's got the island hole, the 17th hole, and it has a field that's just like the majors. It's the top field in golf right now. And right now, Rory McIlroy is just 2 shots off the lead after 7 holes. He's at 3 under par. Troy Merritt is first place at 5 under. Jordan Spieth is 1 over. He's playing, and Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson tee off later this afternoon. And that does it for sports, with the exception of Stump the Commissioner.
I'm going to take these phone calls in the order that they came in. You will have 1 question. If you stump Todd, you win tickets Sunday for the Ducks. We go to Tom calling from L.A. Tom, welcome in. Stump the Commissioner.
Thank you so much. Hey, Mark, I got to say I love you. Todd, a hockey question for hockey tickets. If Tampa wins their next game, something will happen that has never happened before in the NHL in its entire history. What is it?
How about the Montreal Canadiens getting swept 4 straight games in the Stanley Cups?
That's partially correct, but no. It will be the first time a team has swept the same team that they got swept by the year before. Last year, Montreal swept Tampa Bay. This year, Tampa might sweep Montreal.
Well, they might do it. You're right. With that exciting finish last night, puts them up 3-0. I'd say this guy just won some tickets, don't you guys think?
It's up to you. It wasn't a pure stump, yeah. But I guess he had something you didn't have. Let's go round robin. Andy, what do you think? Gina, what do you think?
I had a pure stump once. I don't know what that means. I regretted
it.
Yeah,
did you guys call me a stump? Hey. No.
Is that enough to give him the tickets?
I think it's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Gina?
Yeah, I mean, you got to credit Todd. He knew what he was talking about, but there was a little nugget in there that was pretty interesting.
Tom, my friend, you are going to be at the game on Sunday watching the Ducks go for the cup.
And let me say this. That's game five. You know, game four is going to be on Friday night at Calgary. They return for game five Sunday, and there are still some seats available, too. So, you know, get out there, rock the house. Let's go Ducks all the way.
Todd, thank you so much for the time. Loved having you join Sam. And if we get breaking news on the Patriots, you'll join us for that as well. So keep an ear out, okay?
We'll do so. Of course, the sports on Mark in the Morning, always brought to you by Frontier Toyota. FrontierToyota.com. We're at 0% APR on all new Toyota Camrys in stock for 60 months.
Todd, we'll see you tomorrow.
All righty.
Moms, you, as you raised your child, did you make a mistake, one that you regret and that you would never make again? Skeeter's going to join us to tell us hers, and then we invite you to call up 888-696-1003 in celebration of Mother's Day and tell us the mistake that you'll never make again. Back right after this. This is Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound. Good stuff. Eddie Money, Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound. Mothers, as you raised your children, what mistake did you make that you'll never make again? 888-696-1003. As we celebrate the mommies, Mother's Day is on Sunday.
Woo-woo!
Now, this story I've heard, but it's been so long I've forgotten many of the details. I was not present. I was out when this happened.
You are never home. You were never home when catastrophes happened.
Well, it's because I try to avoid them at all costs.
Whether they were tornadoes or earthquakes or anything, Mark wasn't home.
I don't have time for that crap. My wife of 32 years joins us now to tell this story of something she learned from, and she will never do it again.
Well, you know how you do something and you know it's wrong, but you think, it won't matter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Amy was 8 months old, and it was bath time, so we went into the bathroom, we as in me, Amy, and Matthew, and, well, Matt was three, and yeah. So it's bath time.
Sure.
So I begin to run the water. Amy is sitting on the towel on the floor in the bathroom, mm-hmm. and I forgot something out, just right outside the door.
Oh, no.
On the dresser that I needed for the bath. So I quickly shot out to get it. Matthew followed behind me, shut the bathroom door, and somehow the door locked.
No!
So now is the bath water running?
The bath water's running.
Oh my God.
She's not in the bathtub, but she loved water and she loved her bath. Mm. She was old enough to crawl and she was old enough to pull herself up.
Imagine yourself in this situation.
So
terrifying.
I'm like, oh my God. So I call 911. My name, my address, tell them what it is. Okay, we'll be on our way. And I'm thinking, it's going to take them forever to get here. She's going to pull herself up, go to play in the water, fall in head first and drown.
Oh. Oh God.
And then it hit me. We had an axe in the garage.
Oh my God.
Oh, this story's getting worse, better, worse.
So I run down to the garage. I don't know why we even had an axe. And I took that axe, and I don't know where the strength came from me to do this, but I took that axe, and I whacked off that door handle, and part of that door, took my foot, smacked it open, and there was Amy still sitting in the spot that I left her, just grinning from ear to ear.
Here's Skeeter.
Wow. I love that mama bear strength.
Yeah. I love Jack Nicholson from The Shining strength. That's terrifying.
The strength came from the absolute fact of the scenario that you described. She loved bath time. She could have pulled herself in there and drowned.
Right. So as soon as I got her, I called 911 back and said, forget it. And they're very good because right after I hung up to say, I've got the situation under control, they called me back to make sure that I had everything under control.
That's amazing.
But it's like I said, I mean, you do dumbass things that you know not to do, And then that's what happens.
Yeah, some of the scariest parenting stories I've ever heard in person or on TV or anything starts with, and I turn my back for 1 second.
Right. Yeah. You don't think it's going to happen to you.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Here's the what I got from it. Stupid old Matt.
Damn Matt. Shutting that door.
That was your takeaway?
That's all his fault.
You have a problem, child.
We'll get to that on Father's Day. Nice job.
So moms, you raised your kids, and there were mistakes that you made that you'll never make again. 888-696-1003. We're going to be talking with Sandy and Laura when we come back.
Oh, and there's one more.
Yeah.
I would have a conversation with Santa Claus and tell him not to wrap the Santa Claus gifts because it turns out to be a lot of work.
It's true.
Be careful.
Well, what Linda started was that she made sure that Santa Claus every year wrapped every Christmas gift that came from Santa.
Uh-huh.
And it was days of work.
Well, with three kids, it's a lot.
Good
it was a lot.
That's
so
great. Yeah, it's still low expectations in your children from Santa.
Yeah.
Good tip. I'm taking notes.
So we're talk to moms right after this. This is Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound. So we've got Mother's Day on Sunday. You just heard Skeeter's scary story. Let's go to Sandy calling from Ventura. Sandy, you've been a mom how long?
I've been a mom for 30 years.
Jeez. All right. So that's a long time and a lot of mistakes. What is the one thing you'll never do again?
So biggest mistake is I come from years of bad relationships. So when my daughter was growing up, every time that she would watch one of those sappy love stories, and she would say, "Oh my gosh, I can't wait to fall in love," I would say, "Oh, it's never going to happen to you. That's not real." And she grew up thinking love was not real, and to this day, she's commitment phobic.
Oh no! Oh, man. Wait, so what exactly was the point of telling her it wasn't real?
Well, I didn't want her to go through the same experiences that I did, so I kind of thought I was, you know, protecting her.
You tried to protect her and it backfired.
So
I
it was
get it.
Personal experience. You apparently have not had blissful relationships.
This scarred me. We had some people, we weren't really friends, but we knew them. And the mother had horrible experiences with men. And she had a son, and we went over to their house one day to pick up something. I don't know what. On the back of the mother's bumper of her car, she had a, keep in mind, she had a son. She had a sticker on her bumper that said, "Men suck."
Oh, no.
I mean, my God. Well, Sandy, that was huge.
You tried, Sandy.
Well, Sandy, listen, thank you for calling, and thank you for listening, and happy Mother's Day.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you so much. Love you, by the way. Love all of you. You guys are great.
Thank you.
But right. If you had to pick one, who do you like the best?
I'm going to have to go with Danny.
I love you.
Sweet vindication.
Sandy, thank you so much for listening, and happy Mother's Day.
Well.
Okay, thanks. Thanks to you guys.
So
bye.
Wait, now we understand what motivates Danny to put on his headphones. Compliment.
Well, actually, you know, Danny and Andy require the same phonic sounds.
Oh, Andy, just, let me have it.
Let him all right, have his compliment.
I'll let you have this one.
Love you, Sandy.
Moms, what did you learn by parenting that you will never do again? 888-696-1003. Luckily, we have Gina to tell us what is trending.
We sure do. Maroon 5 frontman Adam Levine was hit in the face with powdered sugar on his way to do the Jimmy Kimmel show last night. Jeez. The sugar bomber was arrested outside the studio for battery. And police...
Why?
Because he got hit in the face with powdered sugar.
Why would someone do that?
Because they're idiots.
Oh. Well, they have a song out right now called Sugar, right?
Yeah.
So but that was the point? So it was an affinity for him, not to embarrass him.
Yeah, let's all just stick to what we know. And I don't think joke writing was the sugar bomber's forte. And football players at UCLA have started wearing sensor-laden helmets so researchers can study head hits and concussions for the next year. And McDonald's is trying to attract women to the burger chain by redesigning the Hamburglar to be human and to be hot. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online on Mark in the Morning, and now the police. This is 100.3 The Sound, Southern California's classic rock.
Start talking now. It's not going to get any better.
There's no...
Well, whoop, we were talking during the police, and best thing I can say is Gina's out there making fans and friends on Twitter.
Oh.
And the thing is, I am.
Yeah, but she's a regular Dale Carnegie.
You get one bad apple, and they ruin it for everybody.
Sunday is Mother's Day. We asked moms to reach out as you raised your kids. What mistakes did you make that you would never make again? We go to Laura. She's calling from Fountain Valley. Good morning, Laura.
Hi, Mark. How you doing?
Really good. Mistake that you made, please.
I allowed my son to go live with his father when he was 7. Mm. I was in a transitional period, lost my job, broke up with a boyfriend, and just needed to get back up on my feet. Didn't want to drag my son through the chaos of doing that, so I allowed him to go live with his dad for 1 year. And here it is 10 years later, and it's still the biggest regret I have ever made.
Now, I'm assuming you had custody?
Yeah.
And so
there was never any custody battle. Like, we've always been able to work things out, parents together, you know, forever.
So what about doing that is the regret? What happened?
Well, here it is. My son just celebrated his 17th birthday, and his response to me was, you know, Mom, I still don't understand why you're not rich.
What?
He's very insensitive, and we don't spend much time together anymore, and it just sucks. I lost my little boy. I lost my baby. So that's the biggest regret. I would never, ever do that again. I wouldn't. I think back on it, like, I think that it would be better if I would have just, he would have given me more strength to continue to go on. Mm. But now it's like I have this big burden of regret.
Well, Laura, that was hard to say. Thank you for reaching out. I hope you have a great Mother's Day.
Thanks, Mark. Take care. Bye,
Gina. Wait, don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. I know it's only a drop in the bucket, but that's just so hard to hear, and I would just love to give you a little something-something from the booty box. Can I give you some Pat Benatar tickets?
Absolutely.
You got Thank it, you. My dear. Pat Benatar and Neil Giraldo. Jackie will hook you up, so stay on the line.
Thanks.
You got it.
And maybe you'll have a chance to tell him these things if you haven't already sometime. Maybe not now, but maybe at some point not too far away you'll be able to tell him how you feel about these things and the regrets that you have. And maybe there's healing on the way.
I think that's absolutely words to the wise. Let's go to Kiana from Anaheim. Did I pronounce your name correctly?
Yes, you did, Mark.
Perfect. So
I just wanted to say, by the way, thank you for allowing me on the radio. I've been listening to you guys for about 23 years.
Ooh.
Well, thank you for that.
And I am 24, so what does that tell you, Mark?
Wow. So how long have you been a mom?
I've been a mom. My oldest is 6 and my youngest is 3, and I have a newborn on the way. And my biggest regret would be bringing them through the road of me not being clean and sober at the time and losing them.
Yeah, I'm
but
sorry.
Then,
and
but
losing
then God
what?
Gave me a chance to have another baby.
Losing him, yeah.
Oh. Yeah, these are heavier than I kind of thought. These are hard things for you guys to say. So you're clean and sober now.
Yes, I've been clean and sober for about a year.
Excellent.
And I got blessed to have another kid. And now I'm in my last 8 weeks with a baby girl. And I will never put my daughter through what I put my other two kids through.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's good stuff. You know, so you're married, boyfriend, what is your deal?
I'm married. I'm married happily to my husband. He is the biggest part of my recovery of why I am now clean and now able to be a mother that I wasn't able to be the last two times.
And if you don't mind me asking, what was the substance of choice for you?
I was on methamphetamines for about 10 and a half years.
That's evil stuff.
Wow. Wow.
Evil stuff, isn't it?
Well, Kiana, listen, I want you to have a great Mother's Day. I know that you're not going to make the same mistake with this third child that's coming up. One of these days, they're going to figure out what causes pregnancy, and as soon as they do, we'll let you know about it.
Okay, well, thank you, Mark.
You've certainly got to cut back on your slutty ways, Kiana.
Oh, okay. Mark.
Thank you, Mark.
That escalated quickly.
Kiana, I love you. Thank you for calling, and the very best Mother's Day. So we've got quite a few left on the phone. Let us slice off some business. We'll come back. What regret did you have as a mother? What would you never do again? 888-696-1003.
Yeah, let's cheer up with some of these commercials and come back and take some phone calls.
Back after this, it's Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound. So good. This is Junior Walker and the All-Stars on 1450 WLAY. All right, let's go to Katie. Katie, you've been a mother for how long?
25 years.
Nice.
Yeah.
And what did you do wrong that you'll never make that mistake again?
Oh, you guys, this is bad. They talk about terrible twos. Well, I had the terrible 15-year-old that just pushed the buttons, knew it all, you know, definitely didn't, we knew nothing. And she stood in line for hours to get her favorite band, Blink-182's autograph. And she pushed me too far one time, didn't think I'd do it, but I shredded the album cover with all the signatures and everything.
No!
I did, and that's not the worst part. 2 years later, this is a daughter that was diagnosed with cancer. So if you don't think that that's the worst mother in the world, I don't know. But
what
someday she's going to get me. She's in law school now, and she'll find some way, I'm sure, to sue me back 10 years ago on where I destroyed her Blink-182.
For punitive damages, pain and suffering.
I got to know.
Exactly.
What did happen that you were so upset that you would shred that?
You know, and first I can say, if she's out there listening, which she probably is, she's a good kid, but she had gotten a new car for her 16th birthday, wasn't quite 16 yet, and lent it to a boyfriend that we didn't even know was around, didn't even know about the guy. Mm. We thought the car was stolen, and she's like, I don't know where the car is, and then she copped to it. So she was pushing buttons then,
you know,
definitely.
What? You know what? I'm going to say something, and I hope this makes you feel a little bit better. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. I actually really respect what you did, because anymore, parents don't seem willing to go the distance in terms of, I'm going to follow through on this. I'm going to follow through on this consequence. And you took something that she really, really loved, and you said, I brought you into this world. I'll take you out. And I respect that.
Well, and there's no way she thought I'd do it. And I stood right
there.
That's what I mean. And you know what? The guilt that I've had these years, because let me tell you, it comes up at stories and parties, and my mom shredded my prized possession. And, you know, it hurts. But I did it. I followed through, and she's a good kid now. And, you know, that's all I can say. Healthy, and that's important.
That's so great.
I guess it all worked out.
Well, Katie, I've mentioned this story before, but with Katie, my daughter Katie, when she was 12, I think, I got so pissed off at her that I actually took away food and light.
Oh, no, I know the feeling. My brother had a sweat jacket made for no phone, no TV, no computers, no boys. What's left? And that was pretty much her years from 15 to 16. It was, taking things away a lot. So,
Katie, have a great Mother's Day, and thank you for listening. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Glad you're back.
Thank you. Wow. I need me some Cooper and Let It Be Alice. This is Mark in the Morning,
nice.
100.3 The Sound. Now, you see, I always wait for that. Like, you want me to wait for the Steve Miller. I wait for that.
To wind down, yeah.
Correct.
That's good.
All right, let's go to Susan. This will be our last one. Susan, you've been a mom for how long?
30 years.
Nice. And what mistake did you make that you'll never make again?
Well, I made the mistake of giving my daughter a blanket when she was born, and she still sleeps with it around her neck, and she is 30 years old. My son's 28. I never give him one. He's fine, but now my grandsons, Cooper and Jackson, 9 and 5, are following in her footsteps. They will not go anywhere without their blankets. If they do, they throw fits, scream, you name it, they do.
Susan, thank you so much, because my idiot girls still have their, I thought it was them. And thank you so much, because Amy and Katie still have their B as they call them.
Mark,
oh, good. That makes me feel better.
Mark,
yes, yes.
I'm about to make both of you feel a lot better.
Uh-oh.
I am upwards of 25 years old, mm-hmm. plus a couple of years. Mm-hmm. I still sleep every night with the blanket that I was given when I was born.
Wow.
It is on my bed. It has gone with me. There were two. There was always a travel team and an away team. I mean, a home team and a travel team. So one always stayed home and one always came with me. The one that always came with me is still with me.
Mm.
Yep, still on my bed.
I think this is the biggest, because I'm telling you, there are so many people listening right now that are going, yep. Because both Amy and Katie still sleep with it. Gina sleeps with it. Your stupid kids sleep with it, Susan. I think this is huge. I don't know what. So what is it, Gina? Is it a comfort?
I don't know. I mean, and it's not, you know, I don't wrap it around me like a sarong, but it sits on the corner of my bed. I love it. I've had it my entire, it's the only thing I've ever had my entire life. And what's wrong with it? I wash it.
You're not hurting anybody.
No, I'm not hurting anybody. And when some people are like, oh, if my cat doesn't like you, then I know you're a bad guy. If a guy can't handle the fact that there is a lovely little baby blanket on the corner of my bed, then he's going, not the blanket.
And a dog ramp.
No dog ramp.
My daughter's literally is in shreds, and she wraps it around her neck and sleeps like a mummy. Oh, she doesn't move her hands or anything. She just got
precious.
It around her neck, and I'm like, okay, Janelle.
I think it's cute, but I'm biased.
I bet she loves that you said her name, too, on the radio.
Yeah, you outed your own daughter.
Yeah.
Susan, it's proof that you're a horrible mother.
Oh, my God.
Now, are you still with your husband?
I am.
Yeah, how long is that?
Been together 35 years, been married 31.
Do you guys still have sex face-to-face?
Yes, we do.
Excellent. So you actually still like him?
Awesome.
Does he like you?
Yes, he does.
How old are you?
I'm 51.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's you're all done now.
Mark,
there's not much
high
around
school,
the
high school sweethearts.
I'm just getting started.
High school sweethearts, yeah?
Yeah. Yes.
Now, he's not the only person you ever had sex with, right?
No.
How many others?
None of your business.
Come on.
Yes!
Are you in double digits?
Three.
Oh, okay. Now is that honest?
Yes.
Wait.
And
I'm
of the
do
three,
math, 35, 16. So before him, so three others before 16. math
yeah.
minor.
Yeah.
So out of the three guys you've had, which was the best? Be honest.
Oh, my God.
By far, my husband.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to say that.
Yeah, by far.
Seriously, though, is he that good?
Yes, it's still great.
Mark, she's a bad mother. She's not stupid.
Right, got it. Hey, Susan, kidding around, I hope you have a fantastic Mother's Day.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, happy Mother's Day.
Talking to you.
Good talking to you, and thank you for listening to us, okay?
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
History.
That happened, and we all let it happen.
Get ready, people. Today is National Teachers Day. Three questions, see how you do. Which 20th century president worked as a school principal before taking office? Lyndon Johnson, Gerald Ford, George W.
It wasn't George W.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Gerald Ford.
I'll go first one.
Lyndon Johnson.
There you go.
Which comic actor worked as a substitute gym teacher? Chris Rock, Billy Crystal, Dan Aykroyd.
Dan Aykroyd.
I'll go Crystal.
It is Crystal.
Yeah! Two for two.
Oh,
and
for
two. You see, it's I've always said it's the simple stuff. Gina is really excited. She's two for two. Which hard rocker taught school before hitting the charts? Alice Cooper, David Lee Roth, Gene Simmons.
Gene Simmons.
I'm going to say Alice Cooper.
It is Gene Simmons.
Hat trick, bitch!
And what's the trophy look like for that?
You know what? I am going to. This is going to be in my head. Hat trick, bitch! That's
that
too
felt
good.
Good.
It was on this day, back in 1945, on the verge of losing World War II. On this day, Adolf Hitler commits suicide in his Berlin bunker. The Los Angeles Dodgers hold Roy Campanella night at the LA Coliseum in front of 93,103 people, the largest crowd to ever attend a baseball game.
Wow.
England lowers the voting age for women from 30 to 21 on this day back in 1928. And on this day in 1914, President Woodrow Wilson issues a proclamation making Mother's Day a national holiday on the second Sunday of May. Happy birthday today. Tracy Lords is 47. Johnny Unitas was born on this day in 1933. And...
forsake me, oh my darling, on this our wedding day.
This is crazy. I haven't even got any guns.
Then let's go on, hurry.
No, that's what I've been thinking. They're making me run. I've never run from anybody before.
Gary Cooper was born on this day in 1901. He won two Best Actor Oscars, one for Sergeant York, the other for High Noon. And I'm going to go out on a limb, and I don't care. I love the movie High Noon.
Yeah.
But Gary Cooper, for my money, was so stiff and really brought nothing to the role.
I'm going to get myself a piece of bottomland.
He every moment I watched him.
He was a good looking guy, though. He cut a good figure of a man.
But he won an Oscar for that cardboard performance he gave. I just couldn't believe. I didn't see the movie until like 10 years ago. That's just one of those that escaped me. And when I watched it, I was shocked at how much of a mannequin he was. And he won an Oscar for it. I just don't get it.
Well,
There is much more Mark in the Morning around the corner. Remain where you are. This is 100.3 The Sound. Ha-ha! I'm getting out my script. Hang on. And so that you know, Andy is still bitching about the fact that he has only one line and he has to say it fast.
Whatever. Well, no. There are no small parts, only small actors. I am going to rock this line today.
And you got to do it quickly.
That part I'm angry about.
All right, Jeannie, you ready?
Let's do this.
And I'm not going to read this. This is from memory. Let's get you in the drawing for this week's incredible... by the way, Dave wrote this. Let's get you in the drawing for this week's incredible prize. A round trip for two to Istanbul aboard Turkish Airlines. First class accommodations and tour. Then you decide where to fly next. Anywhere that Turkish Airlines flies. Over 260 destinations worldwide.
And here's how to enter. Text the word anywhere to the number 21003. Do it now.
Standard.
Nope. It says quickly, and it's in parentheses.
Messaging.
We don't have this kind of time. Don't we have a spot break?
How about I'll do it like Gary Cooper. And data rates apply. Text only once at this time. More opportunities to enter will be announced.
Sound like Charles Barkley.
Complete rules are on our website. Do not text while driving unless you want to get a piece of bottom land.
That's anywhere to 21003. Anywhere to 21003. Then on Friday morning at 8, Jackie will draw a number and dial. If you answer, you win. If you don't answer, Mark will publicly shame you. Yeah. Then Jackie will dial someone else and so on until someone wins.
Thanks again to Turkish Airlines for this amazing trip. There'll be more opportunities to enter in the 2 and 5 p.m. hours today on 100.3 The Sound. Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound. We're stepping out. Somebody's stepping in.
Cynthia Fox is stepping in to do the 10 at 10 in Joe's stead while Uncle Joe Benson's on vacation. The Sound's 10 at 10 is supported by Sports Chalet. Take you to the limit. Today she's taking you to 1987. Now at Sports Chalet, earn a $25 cash card with your purchase of $100 or more. See cashier for details.
Tomorrow on Mark in the Morning, we have our musical frenzy, our Friday frenzy, yet to be determined. We're going to play Mother's Day Match Game. We'll fully explain. Chick on the Street is back in action. We've got a wonderfully warm Mother's Day moment. Plus, we do the Booty Box Blowout. I finally
easy
got it
easy for
right.
You to say.
It is easy. So join us, won't you?
Oh, sure, podcasting is great, but have you heard about this new invention that puts Mark in the Morning directly in your car each weekday morning? Yeah, it's called FM radio, and you'll find Mark in the Morning there on 100.3 FM in Southern California. Thanks for listening.